Well, it's almost straight up 4 o'clock here on the West Coast. Time for the one show you can't live without, our anchor show for the afternoon. It's time for Critical Mass for Business. You're listening to Critical Mass for Business with your host, longtime business advisor and master certified coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. Hey, it's great to be back here today. I'm Doug Gefeller. My business partner, Rick Franzi, and I co-host the Critical Mass radio shows, which air every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. And hey, I've kind of missed this audience since we started our Thursday Coaching Perspective show. Rick has been handling the Tuesday and Wednesday shows with our CEOs, and I've been focused on our coaching show on Thursday. But Rick's off for a little early family celebration, so I get to talk to you today. So just to remind you, we're all brought to you live on octalkradio.net. This is call-in radio. Our call-in numbers are 949-713-6443 and 6447. Once more, 949-713-6443 or 47. Well, our goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better, more informed decisions. We do this by integrating thought leaders and executives who have transferable knowledge and ideas with you, the audience. And our radio show is an extension of our 16-year business practice where we build CEO peer groups for executives here in Orange County, California, all under the heading Renaissance Executive Forums. Renaissance Executive Forums is an international organization committed its members take their businesses to the next level. And Rick and I are currently leading multiple CEO peer groups here in Orange County, along with key executive groups for those direct reports to the CEOs. Just to remind you, Rick's also a prominent author of the book Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups. This has been called the definitive guide to the CEO peer group experience, and it is available for sale on Amazon.com. You can find it by typing in under author Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. Well, let's kick this right off and go to our first guest for today. We have the privilege of having Rebecca Kaminsky of The Right Way OC talking to us. Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
You know, I couldn't have a better day unless I was really done with my Christmas shopping. How about you?
I feel the same. I think the Christmas shopping ends up being one of the bigger challenges this time of year.
I think you're probably right, and from the looks of the freeway today as I go from business to business, everybody's out there shopping and not working.
Well, you know, that's good for businesses.
It's great for businesses. Today's Wall Street Journal reports that sales surge. We're looking for a pickup. The surge in early retail sales has pumped up the stock market, so we're all holding our breath here.
Definitely.
But hey, enough about the big picture. Let's get to the important things. Tell us, tell our audience about your path to The Right Way OC.
Well, I've been working in marketing for a little over 10 years now, and I really started in corporate America and working with banks. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I started a business with a partner where we really did marketing that focused on small businesses and their needs. And as that business moved forward, we ended up deciding to separate the business and go our own ways. And at one point, I was simply just teaching. I teach junior college English, so I was teaching and decided, well, you know, I think I better go back to get a regular job now. And went on several interviews, and on my way home from an interview, I was just having a hard time deciding whether or not I was going to be okay back in a corporate environment or if I really just wanted the freedom again to have my own business. So on the way home, I sort of was thinking to myself, well, what do small businesses really need? And one of the things that popped into my head immediately was that they need help with writing. Writing is challenging for many people. It's time consuming for many people, and most business owners need to focus on those things that are their highest level of skill and priority in order to make their businesses work. So sort of at that moment, I was like, what do they need to do? They need to do things the right way. And that's pretty much how the Right Way OC was born, and sort of got home that afternoon after my interview and filed all my paperwork, and a couple hours later got a call offering me a job, turned it down, and I've been running ever since.
Well, you know, I was just listening today to NPR Now, and they were doing a special feature on entrepreneurs and talking about the fact that the 21 to 35-year-olds are basically making a huge push into going into their own companies because of the lack of employment opportunities. And they were getting an opinion from these entrepreneurs, both early startups and some that have been at it, about how they liked it. So while I've got you, would you do that same decision all over again today if you had to do it?
Absolutely. In fact, if I had to do it all over again, I probably would have started my own business sooner. Yeah.
I love it. And what do you find is the big benefit of having your own business?
A lot of scary things because, you know, you have to make your own income, and it's a constant push for sales and developing your skills and education and staying at the top of the market as often as you can and staying ahead of the game. But at the same time, the reward, I just find is much greater, and you get to do things your own way.
Okay.
There's no set standard. You get to set the culture of the workplace, and I think that's one of the things I enjoy the most.
You know, one of the things that really intrigues me about you personally, Rebecca, is that many of us in business spend time going back to keep our skills up to date, going to classes and going to seminars. But you are getting paid to keep your skills up to date in that you are constantly updating your writing skills by your teaching time. Is that not right?
Oh, that is absolutely true. In fact, I wonder almost every class, and certainly at the end of every semester, if I was able to teach my students as much as I've learned from them. There's just no end to the creative ideas, to the ways they find to express themselves, as well as it forces me to really hone, especially my grammar skills. Let me tell you, I can pick a run-on sentence or a comma splice out of a haystack at this point. So, you know, it really keeps those sort of basic skills really, really up to date, as well as, you know, writing styles. So, and not to mention it's fun. Teaching is fun and very rewarding. So I do, as opposed to taking continuing education classes, I sort of give them.
What a great way to do it. I'm going to have to think about that. Well, look, tell us more about your firm. What is the Right Way OC? And maybe we, if people haven't guessed it by now, we're talking about Right, W-R-I-T-E. Not R-I-G-H-T. Now, that's the end of my grammar day, by the way, Rebecca.
like you said, we focus on writing. I do sales and marketing materials. Like I tell my clients, it's anything that you're going to put in front of people that has words on it, at the very least, needs to be double-checked by a fresh set of eyes. At the most, it might be a good idea for any business owner to consider turning it over to a professional who knows how to speak to audience, who knows formats, who doesn't have to spend a lot of time researching those basic things depending on the item that needs to go out into the marketplace, and that can just simply get things done a little bit more quickly. It's also important, I know, especially since one of my focuses is small businesses, is that the small businesses have their own personality and that all of their materials are reflective of the personality of the business, which really is the personality of the owner, and that they are speaking to their clients and their prospects in the most effective way. One of the ways we do that is we marry the concept of whatever item that we're working on with the look and feel of the piece, but more importantly, the message that's getting out there. So I focus on the message and incorporate it into the design so that both things are complementary to each other in order to get people to actually act in the way the owner would like them to act. And the way that we do that is by peeling to the needs of the audience rather than by focusing on the needs of the business. And that's one thing that a lot of small business owners mistake, is they're very enthusiastic and they're very knowledgeable and they want to share that knowledge. But what they're missing is the way in which they turn that information into something that's actually valuable for the person receiving it, because the person cares about their needs first, not the business needs. And so we really have to take that, these are your business goals, how do we translate that into filling the needs of your clients or your prospects?
Well, you know, it would seem that you've sort of got a natural edge there too, because as the business owner, we've got sort of a pride of authorship, a vested interest. We've heard it, we've said it so many times, we don't know how it hears, how we are heard by others. And you sort of come in fresh with a fresh set of ears and probably have an easier time putting yourself in the customer's head rather than we as the business owners.
Absolutely. And a lot of my clients, I am their customer. You know, if I'm working with a CPA, as a small business owner myself, I need to hire a CPA. Because one thing I do not like to do is my own accounting. That's something I'm happy to give away to, you know, somebody else to do on my behalf. It's also one of the harder things for business owners to let go, because marketing and sales typically is the more creative outlet. And so they really want to be involved in the entire process. So, you know, which is a good thing, but it can also get in their way a little bit, in that they want to be a little too hands-on. But then it takes away from their time doing other things. So I am able to come in and say, hey, that's important to you. And I understand as a business owner, that's important to you. But as a prospective client, this is where I think we ought to focus or emphasize this aspect over another aspect. I do a lot of polling, too, where I will ask anyone and everyone I know who might be a prospect of my client and say, hey, when you're thinking about this kind of need, where do you focus? And so really just doing sampling data from actual consumers really helps as well.
Would you say that may be one of the things that sort of differentiates you from other businesses?
Absolutely.
Offer similar services?
Absolutely. I think that definitely differentiates me. Another thing that differentiates me is that most marketing firms really are strategy-based. And the strategy is absolutely important. You have to start with a strategy. You have to start with a concept. What I do is I can help take them from strategy to execution. But my primary focus is on that message. Who's going to be reading the words, and what words do we need to choose for that audience? And a lot of marketing firms put a lot of emphasis on the design element of sales and marketing materials. And the design is important. It catches people's attention. However, what actually sells people, what actually gets people to go to your website or pick up the phone, is the actual message. It's not the actual design. So ideally, you would have a message and a design that complement and reinforce each other. That's not always possible, in which case
So
you put your focus on the message first.
Got it. Give me a couple of real-life examples of tasks that you've been called in to do so that our audience, you know, I mean, we're talking theory here. Now, really, I got a bunch of stuff on my desk. What might be sitting here that I would be thinking about going into the new year that I should call you and get your help on?
Oh, postcards, sales letters, brochures, newsletters, adding content to your website or updating content to your website. Any special offers or promotions that you want to get the word out for would be good. Basically anything that has words on it that's gonna go in front of a group of people. I do a lot of websites, a lot of email blasts, a lot of newsletters. And a lot of sales letters. I do a lot of research materials also, where we will actually take an area and look in depth to where are people found, what are they doing, what are their ages, what are they interested in, what are their behaviors, and what are their specific needs. And I can create a research document. I can do white papers, which White papers are basically position or research papers that I can do for businesses that they would like to post on their website as both information and educational materials for their prospects as well.
Okay, good. Good. That helps a lot. Well, look, you know, one of my favorite questions that I have to ask every guest is, what is sort of your guiding principle around your business? I mean, what particular experience or lesson did you learn in your business or in life that really sort of colors how you deal with clients and customers and really the whole world of business?
Well, I early on when I was a recent college graduate and I had one of my first jobs in a marketing department, I learned the hard way the importance of deadlines. Where, you know, at the last minute I realized that something that really was critical to be done hadn't been done, and I had to, you know, at the last minute fix it in order to not only save the project, but to what I thought was more important at the time, save my job. So one of the things that I'm very, very diligent about now and really ever since that incident is that deadlines have to be adhered to. And for many companies, we can actually put a dollar figure to how much money will be wasted if they do not hit their deadline. And obviously, we don't want to spend any more money than is necessary in order to get a marketing campaign out there, because the idea of a marketing campaign is to bring in business, not to, you know, bring money and not send it out. So those deadlines are very important. In a more general rule, I've found that, you know, I had this humbling experience, and it was, you know, and I've had several other little experience lessons that you learn as you go on, particularly as a new business owner. There's just all kinds of stuff you can't imagine that you need to learn. But without making some of those bigger mistakes, I really think those bigger mistakes are very important. Because it gives you a new concept of work ethic, of really paying attention to details, of making sure that you are keeping all of your records straight and detailed accounts of what you work on and how you work on them and how much time you've worked on things, so that if anybody ever comes back and asks you, you could say, this is what I know, and it's a direct result of this information that I've kept.
Okay. So, let me go ahead.
No, I'm finished.
Well, let me ask you if deadlines are critical. I mean, I don't want to make any major confession here on the radio about myself, but let's just say that it wouldn't be the first time I spent late hours the night before something was due working on it. So, what are some of the tricks or tools that you use to make sure that you aren't burning the midnight candle to hit your deadlines?
Well, that does happen, and that happens a lot, because you can never tell on a day-to-day basis how much is going to come in, how many phone calls or emails, or if a client is just going to pop in the office. So certainly often working late is a solution to the I might not make this deadline problem. One of the things I do is I keep a very meticulous to-do list that has times and dates on things, and I also keep on my Outlook calendar, I set aside time for specific tasks. So on any given day, I can look at a given time on my calendar and say, I'm supposed to be working on this right now. 2 hours in the morning might be making follow-up phone calls, checking emails, and then in the afternoon, it might be I'm spending these 3 hours doing nothing but working on client work, which means I close my email, I turn my ringer off, and I focus solely on those things. Part of the challenges that I find in my business is not that I'm not going to hit the deadline, but that I haven't gotten the material from my clients in time to make the deadline. So I also will put in reminders either in my phone or on my Outlook to remind me that says, hey, follow up with this person, remind them to get this material to you. So I'm constantly following up and I don't want to say nagging, maybe nudging is a better word for it, to get my clients to make sure they remember, because they get busy in the day-to-day running of their business, and all of a sudden it's, oh, yeah, I was supposed to get these bullet points to Rebecca. And so if I just, you know, gently remind them every so often, it makes it a lot easier to make sure we all hit those deadlines that are necessary. And I will give them deadlines for things, too. I always make sure that my clients understand that I am not working necessarily for them. We are working together on a team. And if they don't hit their deadlines, I can't hit my deadlines. So I will give them deadlines by, you know, if we're working on something on a Tuesday, I'll say, okay, now I need this information no later than Friday. Put it in your computer. Give yourself a reminder so that you can make time to send those items to me.
Okay. Great, great suggestions on time management. I appreciate you sharing those with us. Well, look, you know, no matter how well a business is going, there's always challenges. Talk to us about a current challenge that you're facing in your business and what you're doing about it. Maybe we've got people in the audience who are same thing and maybe haven't figured it out yet, and you might save them a lot of time and effort with this story.
One of the challenges I find that I run on pretty much all the time is time. You know, all of a sudden that you get into the office, it's, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, and then you blink your eyes and then it's 3 o'clock and you're like, where did the day go? And that becomes particularly important when I've got several projects on my desk and I'm the primary on those projects, meaning there aren't really that many writers out there that I feel comfortable bringing in or bringing in full time to work with me. So I've really had, over the last year or so, a focus of where are other writers I can bring in as needed. And then more so than that, if I'm working on client projects, then I'm not out there selling. So who can I bring in to sell on my behalf? Or if there isn't anyone to bring in to sell on my behalf, because my business isn't such an easy business necessarily to sell, right? I'm not really selling a product. I'm selling a service that a mm-hmm. lot of people are right. not familiar with. So if that's the case, then how often do I want to bring in other writers to work on my client stuff so I can go out and sell? And how much of that control on the actual project am I willing to give up? And I think that's true of a lot of business owners, where we want to just have hands-on control of everything, and it's really hard to separate yourself from needing to control it and really trust somebody else is going to get that job done at the quality that you are promising your clients. And so that's something that I've definitely been confronted with. And luckily for me, I've, you know, looking back at my resources in graduate school, is I have a number of other students that I went to school with, that I graduated with, that are more than capable writers. And so I'm able to tap that resource that, you know, I don't know why I hadn't thought of it sooner. It seemed sort of natural that I was in a writing program and I should go look back at those other writers and see what they're up to and if they have time and are willing to come in and work for me on an as-needed basis. And so far it has worked out splendidly.
So it's the age-old problem of a startup is the startup is really all about you because there is nobody else, and then you get busy and you need other people, and it's how do you bring other people that aren't you and sell them to your clients who hired you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you pretty much keep your help in the back office and not visible to your clients, or do your are they aware that other people are helping?
You know, sometimes I'll let my clients know, and other times I always have the final say. So whether or not I've written the actual piece, it has always gotten my final approval before it goes out the door to a client. So either way, I feel as though it sort of has my stamp of approval on it. And one of the things I found is having another writer available helps me so that they can double-check my work. Because having that second set of eyeballs is always, always a great thing. So every now and again when I misplace a comma or maybe use the wrong word, I've got somebody else saying, hey, you know, you got to fix this. And it's like, oh, thank you. I'm glad you're here.
You know, do I still have you there, Rebecca?
You sure do.
Oh, okay. Sometimes the dead air here kind of scares me. But, you know, one of the things I talked about before we got on the show is the fact that there are usually, there's basically four strategies that companies significantly focus on in trying to grow. One is to be dominant. One is to be distinctive. Another is to be nimble. And then another is to be innovative. Where do you kind of put your company right now in terms of the major strategy that's driving you forward?
I would say that being that I'm small, I'm pretty darn agile. I can make changes on the fly if I need to. I'm also very creative. Over the years, I've met a community of creative artists, designers, developers, other writers, that we can basically, we don't have to put ourselves in any box. We can go anywhere. We're always pushing the barriers. In fact, I'm a big fan of, I don't want any of my materials to look like anybody else's materials. Let's see what happens when we try something new. So we really do, are innovative in a lot of our approaches to things is a little different. So I would say those two things, the fact that I can make decisions and change my course pretty quickly, and the fact that we're open, and the team of people that I work with, we're open to trying new things and, you know, stretching sort of those boundaries as opposed to getting stuck in a, oh, this is what I do. It's, no, that's one of the things we do.
Okay.
We can do a lot of, we can take advantage of a lot of the things out there and then make them our own as opposed to sort of necessarily copycatting what's going on out there.
That certainly speaks highly about a way to differentiate yourself is being innovative. I mean, that's one of the, I don't want to say easier, but one of the more obvious ways in terms of the clients being able to spot differences.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it always helps
also
when
tell
you have
me,
clients that
go
are
ahead.
On board with that, too.
Rebecca, what about a painful lesson that you've learned in your business career here that we might, maybe we could avoid by you sharing that experience?
Oh, goodness. Well, when I first started a business with a partner, I had a very difficult, I didn't like to, and I still, to a certain degree, I don't really like to talk about money. And unfortunately, in business, you have to talk about money, and you have to get comfortable talking about money and bringing money up with people. And if clients aren't paying you on time, you have to be comfortable to call them and say, hey, you know, this invoice went out, or follow up in those ways. I had a client who I just didn't want to, because I don't like to talk about money in that way. I didn't want to bother them that their invoice had become past due. And it wasn't just past due a little bit, it was past due a lot. And as a small business, even small invoices can really affect your bottom line and your ability to, you know, pay your bills and all of the expenses that come along with owning a business. And I eventually just sort of had to learn how to, okay, this is the appropriate way to talk to people when it comes to collecting on what you're owed, and also not apologizing for your pricing. Everybody constantly wants your pricing to be lower because everybody wants to feel as though they got a discount or their budget isn't necessarily very large. So you just, if you feel that you are providing the value at the cost that you're providing it, there, you can't apologize for your pricing, and you have to be able to say, two people, I'm sorry, I just cannot go lower than what the estimate says. And I think that's very challenging. It has been challenging for me. I think it's probably challenging for other business owners, because you're caught between the, I don't want to devalue myself and my work, and at the same time, I also don't want to lose this client or this potential sale. And where do you make that decision to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't do this for you any lower than this, even if that means that client is going to walk. So there's a fine line there, and I think you have to determine what your value is and really hold to that. And, you know, in the long run, if you do, I think that ends up paying off, even if you might lose one or two sales in the meantime.
You know, I want to come back and talk a little bit more about that, but let's just pause for a moment as we hear from our sponsor, Smart Business Magazine, and just hang on, Rebecca. We'll be right back with you.
Sure thing.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And now back to Doug Gefeller and the rest of his interview.
Okay, we're back again with Rebecca Kaminsky of The Right Way Orange OC. And Rebecca was just sharing with us the problem with a small business and setting price and that awkward moment when the client doesn't want to pay that much and you don't want to lose the job, but you can't do the job for nothing.
Pretty much.
And, we've all been there, Rebecca, haven't we?
Absolutely.
What and have you actually had to walk away from clients?
Yes, I have.
And did you feel that was the right decision when you looked at it afterwards?
In the end, I did, and the couple instances I can think of, some of it had to do with it wasn't the right time for the client to be taking on that big of a project. You know, they felt like they were in a hurry, because they needed to have something to put out there. They needed a brochure. Well, to develop a brochure can be an expensive venture. And, you know, there are a lot of companies out there that will do the work for you very cheaply, but you end up getting what you pay for. And so although I didn't want to turn down the business, I had to let them know that, one, I couldn't do it for less. This was my price, and I can't do it for any less. And, two, maybe if you're not able to afford these prices right now, maybe you need to decide whether or not this is the smartest way to spend what limited resources you have at this moment. And what I found was that, one, people appreciate the honesty because it really helps them go back and say, okay, you know what, maybe she's right, and maybe there's another way we can go about doing this or push this project off to a later date and let's do something that's more reasonable for what we're currently able to do. And that, you know, they'll often come back when they are ready because they do appreciate that honesty. And then there'll be just be those that you will lose that are going to go off to somebody else. And that's just sort of the way business works sometimes. And you can't take it personally. Because
I'm glad you added that last point. You're absolutely right. So many of us want to take it personal. And also the point that they do come back. I mean, it may not be the right time for you or the client, and it's better to pass the job now and do it later and have a good long-term client than to go ahead now with some awkwardness at the very beginning about scope and cost and what's going to be done.
Right. One of the things that happens that I would just caution other business owners about, if you do that first job where you've undervalued yourself, and that client comes back, they will always expect you to give them the same rates. So you have to also weigh the pros and cons of that as you move forward in your decision for that immediate project.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Well, look, you know, everything I'm seeing in the marketplace is Rick and I travel through Orange County and talk to many businesses from large to medium to small and service providers to manufacturers, is we're definitely getting a sense of an uptick in the market. If not in real sales, it's certainly in a confidence. So What do you see as a current growth opportunity facing you in your business?
Well, what I see as a current growth opportunity is that there just are, like you mentioned earlier, there are a lot more younger people starting their own businesses. And when you can take a brand new business that doesn't have anything set up, they don't have a logo, they don't have their corporate identity, they haven't really set up a website other than maybe just sort of a placeholder page, they don't really have any sales or marketing materials, they're sort of still figuring out their identity and who their audience is, to be able to take a little business and give them the image in the marketplace that they are a substantial business by bringing in a team of professionals on their behalf is a great growth opportunity for me, as well as all of the complementary businesses that I work with in the marketing profession, whether it's PR, whether it's graphic design, whether it's web development or internet marketing. All of these young businesses are great, and what we have is, you know, Generation X and Generation Y, which sort of have a different social culture than some of the people that are you would expect to be business owners that are maybe a little bit older, maybe 45 or older. They have a very different view of business. They have a very different view of social culture than, you know, some of the people that are slightly older than them do. So to work with them and to see the kind of culture that they want to instill in their business and with their employees and how they want to run their businesses is really unique in the way that they do that. And so, again, it comes back to they're teaching me again. And you get to be a part of something that's exciting and new and really could potentially change the way that we do business with each other.
So,
because of
so do you see here, I mean, with an opportunity to deal with a, let's say, a younger audience, more entrepreneurial startup types of businesses, my assumption would be those businesses also probably have the least flexibility in budget. So you've got a trade-off. Here's a growing market opportunity with a real need that really understands what you can provide and yet may not have the budget of the larger, more mature companies. How do you weigh that?
What I typically will do with a client like that is we will start at the very beginning and make a priorities list of projects. It might be that the priority is to build their website. Then let's allocate what limited funds you have and really make a dynamic website and use that as your main marketing tool and really send people to your website versus having them necessarily call you and continually adding to the web and using those kinds of things. It is a trade-off because they don't have the budget, but what you have is generations of people that understand technology in a way that older generations don't. And a lot of them can do a lot of the technical marketing things on their own. They just need somebody to direct them, in which case we can come as a consultant and say, well, here's the steps that you need to take. How are you coming with those things? In a lot of ways, very similar to coaching. It's sort of marketing coaching as opposed to just an overall business coaching where they're capable of doing it on their own. A lot of my college students, they can program websites. So if they wanted to start a business, they could develop their own website. I would come in and say, okay, these are the kinds of elements you need to make sure you build into your website that they might not know or understand about at first. But they sort of, because they were...
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you know, your analogy to the coaching is right on. I hadn't really made that connection before, but we are finding more interest from companies wanting us to come in and to train and help train and develop and set up internal coaching programs that they can then run on their own rather than be dependent upon us forever.
Yeah.
Which sort of speaks to the same thing you're talking about of the fact that this younger, this more social media conscious generation is really able, and with technology, able to do a lot of things on their own. So let's revamp our service package to cut out those things that they can do and then just work on the areas of personal expertise that we have that they don't really have. If that's what I'm hearing you say. Is that close?
That's absolutely it, yeah. Because they're coming into the
great
market
opportunity
with a different set of skills.
Well, look, this has been great. As we're getting ready to wrap up here, I want to make sure, is there anything else about you or your firm that we haven't talked about today that you would like to share with our audience?
No, I think we covered a lot of great things today, and I'm very excited and very thankful for that you were, had me on today.
Oh, Rebecca, thank you for being here. It's a great show here talking to you. It was great getting to know you ahead of time. I appreciate you visiting one of our CEO peer groups here in Orange County. You had a lot to add to the group, and I just see your business continuing to grow, and I'm fascinated with your success that you've achieved already. So,
thank you very much
for being with us. And how does someone get in touch with you or learn more about your firm?
You can visit us online at therightwayoc.com, or you can email me at info@therightwayoc.com, and we'd be happy to talk to you, sit down with you, exchange emails, you know, good with the word. So,
Rebecca, thank you for being a friend of the show, and congratulations on becoming a new member of the Critical Mass for Business community.
Thank you very much, Doug.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. Well, you know, Rick and I believe that business owners and executives learn best from experiences of their peers, and I believe you'll agree that listening to Rebecca that, you know, she shared many experiences that she's had with us that we can learn from, and that's what happens every month in our CEO peer groups that Rick and I facilitate here in Orange County. The opportunity to be in the same room with 10 other top executives, many of whom own their own business, can have a significant positive impact on the quality of decisions that our members make. So just because you're for yourself doesn't mean you have to be in business by yourself. Look, I also would be remiss if I didn't remind you, tune in tomorrow, 4 o'clock, for our Critical Mass, the Coaching Perspective show. I'm the lead partner for our coaching practice, a master certified coach, a past president of the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation. And I've been coaching executives and business owners for 16 years, all under the banner of the Coaching Perspective, which is part of the Critical Mass for Business Service Group. And we offer individual coaching from top executives to entry-level positions, coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills, group coaching for work units, departments, and project teams, communication workshops, and coaching where there's been a physical or organizational upheaval in your company. This month in December, we've been talking on our coaching show about change and motivation. So the next step is once you've dealt with, do any of the things that you've done to deal with change and motivation actually increase performance? So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow on the show, how to achieve peak performance in discussing my favorite book on creating sustained peak of performance, which is called Peak, What Else, by Chip Conley. So, you know, what I'd ask is, have you considered Maslow's hierarchy of needs in any of your management meetings lately? If not, and I would venture you haven't, be sure to tune in tomorrow and find out why you should be. So I hope you enjoyed our show today, and that the interviews provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to move your company in a positive direction. Be sure to check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com, and find out more about our radio show, our coaching programs, and our CEO peer group. So here's wishing you better decision making.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net. Stay tuned for the Pilgrim on the 405, coming up right after this.